This is our third week in this series of lessons called Living with Hope in a Broken World. And I know Brother Bill's going to repeat some of this, but I just want to set the stage for what I'm going to say. Besides, repetition's good. You watch the same movie every now and then over again, and you know, you listen to the same music over again. So repetition's good. And so our lesson this morning is the testimony of our hope. Our hope in Christ points others to him. One of the verses that's in our lesson this morning that Brother Bill's going to be talking about is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, God, and this is one of the points I'm going to make in my sermon this morning, God is the same. He never changes. He said something very similar to that back in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, where the Bible says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are on the earth." And so God wants us to be peculiar. You know, when we first started the church, we had a couple characters. And this verse came alive for me. I will look at those two guys and I say, this is exactly who God's talking about. They are peculiar. Now, I'm not saying we don't have some peculiar people still in our church, but they're going to remain nameless for their own sakes. Pardon? I wasn't pointing at you. I'll go like this. But if we're peculiar, Bill, that's the way God wants us to be. Now, here's the point of the lesson. Peculiar people stand out. I mean, they are different from everybody else. And that difference, that peculiarness, if that's a word, peculiarness, I don't know if that's a word or not, gets people's attention. Gets people's attention. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be peculiar. It gets people's attention so that we can point others to him. Others to him. We have a hope in Christ. This is a broken world, like the lesson says. I mean, I don't need to convince you that we live in a broken world. But we have a hope. And it's not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the world's looking for. There's many people in this world that are looking for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they don't know what they're looking for. I mean, they know they're looking for something. They know their life is not complete. They know there's something missing. And you've heard me say before, when God made all of us, he put something in us that wants a relationship with our Creator, that wants a relationship with our God. And the world tries to fill it up with all sorts of stuff that doesn't work. The only thing that will fill that spot, the only thing that will fill that desire that God has given us for a relationship with him is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with God through him. So the world is looking for that hope that we have. They won't find it any other place except in Jesus Christ. So, as Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Of course, we're like little moons. Okay, here we're stopping and think about that. We're like little moons. We have no source of light in ourselves. We are a reflection of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we ask Jesus to come into our life, he lights it up. And the light that we show is not our own. The light that we show is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, let's be different. Let's be peculiar. Let's let our light shine. Let's do good works. Let's point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glad you're here for Sunday school. Looking forward to the lesson. Brother Bill, come and lead us in it.
Good morning. Happy summer. And to you fathers, a very happy Father's Day. I know most of you are looking forward to seeing your families today, probably breaking a little bread and just enjoying the day. What a start we have with this beautiful day. May even get a little rain for our gardens today. My friends and brethren, as always, it is a joy to be with you in the house of the Lord. The love of the Lord shines upon us, and the opportunity to study His Word and the light that it provides is invigorating to us, body and soul. We pray that the Word penetrates our hearts and minds and changes our behavior and provide an example to those around us that they would want to seek Jesus and accept His free gift of eternal life. Accepting and receiving Jesus changes lives. You've all seen that. You have all witnessed that. Praise God for His blessings that He bestows upon those that believe. Our lesson today is titled, The Testimony of Our Hope. Our life and the way we live it is our testimony to the world. Be an example as Christ wants us to be. The point of our lesson is our hope in Christ points others to Him. We are an example to people. They see the way you live your life. They want to live like that. We are pointing others to Jesus Christ if we live our life the way God wants us to. Now, the point of our lesson is our hope in Christ points others to Him. Our manner of life, the things we do, how we live, is an example to others and displays the testimony of our hope. Our scripture today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 15. Please join me in prayer, which will be followed by our scripture reading. Our Heavenly Father, we come today with joyful hearts. We feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this church. We thank you for the pastor that has just opened this up for us, and we thank you for the old hymns. Don't you just love the old hymns? They really get my blood pumping. And I feel the presence of the Lord in this house. And Lord, we just pray that you'll watch over each and every one of us, that we read the scriptures, follow the word, and influence people in their lives. Influence them to come to know Jesus Christ. Lord, in this world today, there are many, many, many opportunities out there. Help us, Lord, to do thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, he's made also a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, to provide continuity and a smooth transition from our last lesson, it's so closely related, I'd like to read 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25, and then 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. Verse 23 in 1 Peter. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Remember, here, Peter is writing to Gentile Christians that probably witnessed Pentecost, and new Gentile Christians were led to the Lord by these witnesses. They were at Pentecost, and they spread throughout the known world at that time, the Roman Empire, and preached Jesus. Peter reminds these people that he's writing to that they were born again, saved by the incorruptible seed of Jesus, the perfect seed of Jesus. They are a new creature, purged of their sin by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, and it never changes. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. This really points out that our life here on earth is temporary. We will fade away. But if and only if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, as mentioned in verse 23. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God. It's everlasting, it's unchangeable, and has brought to you eternal life. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. These three verses are a call by Peter for all Christians, not just the ones he was writing to, but to us as well. It's a call to all Christians for continual spiritual growth for our entire lifetime. I am going through a period of spiritual growth, have been for the last couple of years. I'm just loving it. I'm 80 years old. God's still using me. Praise the Lord. I thank him for that. But we can go on and on and on singing the praises of Jesus Christ being a witness to our neighbors, being an example that they may change their life and want to seek Jesus themselves. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, accepting Jesus Christ, you became a new creature. This is the behavior pattern that Christians should follow. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Just as a newborn baby begins life on milk and must have it for survival and growth, the new Christians should desire and absolutely crave the sincere milk of the Word. The Word as given in His Bible and His Gospel, that ye may thereby grow. You don't read the Word, you're not communicating with God, and you're not going to grow. Get in the Word. Once you handle the milk, it's time for the meat. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, ye have now been supplied with the grace from the Word by reading, studying the Bible, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God wants continual growth from all Christians as we continually strive to be righteous and to be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus. If you're not striving for that, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Because God wants us to be righteous. We'll never make it, but we've got to try. And we've got to use Jesus as our pattern. Not our next door neighbor, not our pastor. Jesus. Be more like Jesus. Now, 1 Peter 2:4-15. I'll start with verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. In verse 3, new Christians have gotten a taste. Now Peter is exhorting Christians with the phrase, to whom coming? Come, get some more of the word of Jesus. He is basically saying, now that you've gotten your feet wet, come on in, the water's fine. Don't let it stop with being saved. And say, I'm secure now. Now, do what God has created you for. To go forth. To spread the word. To let your friends, neighbors, relatives, enemies know the word of Jesus Christ and come to the Lord. Christ is called by Peter a living stone. This is a reference to the temple that was made by stone, and that was God's house. At the same time, it refers to stone that we think of as enduring forever, compared to us. Stone endures forever. Christ is our rock, and He's the foundation of our faith. In the Old Testament, only the priests could enter the holy place. But with the sacrifice of Jesus' blood, He is now the holy place and is open for all, and He endures forever. Come to Him on a daily basis. Come to Him. Disallowed indeed of men, Christ was rejected by the world, but He's chosen of God. to be the sacrifice for our sins and grant us eternal salvation. He is our lively hope. He is precious. He's preeminent, and he is of the greatest value. The richest gift we have ever received is Jesus Christ on Christmas morn, and he gave himself on the cross and rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday, all that we may have eternal life. Verse 5, ye also are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual as lively stones, sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, ye also refers to ye Christians, you Christians, us. We are built up a spiritual house. We are the temple of Jesus Christ. Christians are his house, his temple. He abides in us, and we are his representatives to the lost. And holy priesthood, holy, hagios is the Greek word, means to separate from common condition and use, and to dedicated to special purposes. Now, what's that special purpose you've been dedicated to? Leading the lost to Christ. It applies to all believers. We have a holy purpose to go forth and represent Jesus. We are lively stones because we have a holy purpose, and our life comes from Jesus, and that makes us eternal. We are acceptable to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. Oh, what love! Think of that on Father's Day, of sending your son to a cruel, vicious death on the cross for somebody else. For somebody else. You'd rather go yourself than send your son. What a sacrifice. What love he had that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us was a veil before God so that he could not see our sin and he could welcome us into heaven. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, before I was saved at 25 years of age, I had had a Catholic school education. I went 9 years. It taught it just like a class. If you flunked religion, you flunked the whole class. You could get A's and everything else. You did the whole year over again. But I was lost. And I knew I was lost. And I was searching. But I knew something was amiss. Something was wrong with my life. It's as the pastor was saying this morning. We have a desire to find God. Every civilization ever created has a God. If they don't know the real God, they'll invite one. And that's why you have so many religions in the world, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and among many, many others. They have an emptiness in their heart and their soul, and they seek to fill it. And they cannot do it save by one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's exactly what Jesus said. You must come through him. Holy means hagios, separate us. Go forth. We're the lively stones. We are acceptable to God only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. According to Herschel Hobbes' commentary, our sacrifices are acceptable to God if given, if given in honor and worship of Jesus Christ. Such sacrifices may be our service, our worship, our commitment, our faithfulness, our prayer, our praise, our thanksgiving, and much, much more. But we must dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ and worship Him. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, and this is verse 6. Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I'll turn to Isaiah 28:16. I'll read that. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, in Jerusalem, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of our faith. Peter refers to Christ as a stone. Here he identifies Christ as the cornerstone. The most important stone in any building is the cornerstone. If you do not lay the cornerstone right, if you leave it be a little bit off level or offline, you're going to have a crooked building. Crooked buildings are much more susceptible to the stress of the wind and water and all. You need that foundation to be straight and level for the building to be in line, and that is Jesus Christ, a sure foundation. It's the first stone, and others follow. All remaining stones follow its lead to keep the building in line and level. Isaiah foretells centuries before that this stone will be laid in Jerusalem and how important it is. It is elect, chosen by God. Jesus is chosen by God. It is precious. It is without price. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. They that believe will not be put to shame. They will be saved. They will not be confounded. They will see and recognize the truth and accept it. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. That's Christian believers. But unto them which be disobedient, that's the lost, the stone which the builders allowed, those that reject the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that's the world, and the same, Christ, is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Christ becomes a stone of stumbling. He is an obstacle to those that do not believe. He is an impediment and a rock of offense. He is in opposition to those that do not believe. And they will pay the price. They will suffer the fate of loss, of the lost, perdition, hell, eternal. Isaiah 8:14-15. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Jesus is our sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. He's talking about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. He will be a stumbling block and a rock of offense for a gin, that's a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, his chosen people. reject him, and God puts them with the lost. He puts them with the lost. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. This applies to all the unbelievers of all time, even the unbelievers of today. They have a worthy opponent in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Pastor mentioned this earlier. But ye are a chosen generation. Ye, you, are a chosen generation. Those saved by Christ and freed from the law. They're a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. You are peculiar. Why? Because you stand out in the world that's lost, that doesn't follow the Word of God. Even when I wasn't a Christian, I could tell from people the glow that they had on them. They had something I didn't have. You probably had the same experience. You probably had the same experience. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. A royal priesthood. Before the law, the head of the family, before Moses gave them the law, the head of the family was the family priest. The head of the family was the family priest. He led all worship, etc. The law required perfect obedience, which would result in a nation of priests. If all of these people are perfect, you would have a whole nation. Israel would have all been priests going throughout the world. A peculiar people. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, if, you always got to look and read that if you see if in the Bible, because that's a condition. That's a condition. If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, keep my laws, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Now remember that, because that's important, because you're going to inherit that. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. He's telling that to the Jews. This was conditional, and the Jews failed in their obedience to the law. And the failure of Israel to keep the law resulted in God creating the Aaronic priesthood composed of the tribe of Levi. Exodus 28:1-3. Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And it goes on to tell what those garments should be made of and what they should look like. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And what happened? Again, the Jews failed to follow the law. So the crucifixion of Jesus Christ brought a new covenant and a new testament to the world. A holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, Peter is telling us Christians in his day and ours, but ye are a chosen generation, those saved by Christ and freed from the law, a royal priesthood. Go forth. Go forth. And holy nation, a peculiar keep people. We are called to his ministry to reach the lost, that ye should show forth the praises of him, honor him, follow him, lead the lost to Jesus, who hath called you out of darkness. That's part of the scripture. Who hath called you out of darkness. That's what Satan. Into his marvelous light. And the light is the light of Jesus and the gospel that probably most of you have in your hand right now. Which in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. In times past, we lived in sin and were not a people, but Christ changed that by changing us. We are now the people of God. We have obtained the mercy from a loving God that sacrificed his own Son, that we may have eternal life, and that our hope in Christ points others to him. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. War on earth is going to be a spiritual war for each and every one of us. Peter admonishes his followers and us as strangers and pilgrims, temporary travelers on this earth, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17 tells us about some of those. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 Timothy 6:10 lists another. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Life is a spiritual war. Prepare for it. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I urge you to read that entire chapter of Ephesians 6. And verses 12, 13, 14, and 15 have us to do with following the government. Obey the laws. Be an example to others, and that they can see the righteousness that you are striving for, and they can be an example to know Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, follow the government and whatnot. Look at what's going on in our world today. The people taking over cities. People changing the law and creating sanctuaries, cities, etc. They're not following the Word of God. Christians should follow the Word of God unless there is a biblical principle involved. And then we follow God's Word, the Bible. Let us pray. Lord, help us, watch over us, guide and direct us. Write this word on our hearts, Lord. Write it into our lives. Let us be an example. Be with us this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, the endurance of our hope, the point, We can endure suffering because of our hope in Jesus Christ. And the scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 17. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.